Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
Hello, welcome to Pro-Sanctity's Holiness Helpers. Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacquinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates, belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates, consecrated to redemptive love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at www.prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our program with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal Word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. My name is Paula Bastian, and I will be your guest moderator for today's show. I'd like to introduce our guest today, Cheryl Hove.
Hello.
Cheryl, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Cheryl Hove, and I am from Omaha. I am married. I've been married 17 years and have three children, ages 13, 12, and a six-year-old.
Thank you. Today's show, we are talking about saints fully human. And I would really like to talk about our personal call to holiness and how our family is the domestic church. You know, Cheryl, in knowing you, I know, you know, I've known you for many years now, and I've just watched how you are in your family and how you have prayed and tried to lead your family to holiness and kind of how the transition has happened over the years. And it's just been, it's been awesome to watch and be a part of in my little way. So I would love to share that with everyone out there listening. So why don't you start with a little bit, you know, telling us your story, a little bit of where it all started.
Well, I was born and raised Catholic, but my faith was not my own. I had parents who were strong in the faith. My mother went to daily Mass, and I at times wondered why, because it wasn't Sunday. I had really no appreciation for the gift of the faith, our Catholic faith of Jesus in the Eucharist. Although I was surrounded by it, it wasn't my own. And once I got married and had children, as my kids got older, I kind of felt like a hypocrite because I wanted them to go to a Catholic school, but I didn't know why, and I didn't even know if I believed what the church taught. Mm. And so I began to kind of seek and search for what I really believed, and especially at the point where my oldest, who is now going to be 14, I really was in a quandary because I didn't know if I wanted to send him to a Catholic school or a public school. But something deep in me wanted him to go to a Catholic school, but I just didn't know why. And so that was kind of the beginning of my journey. And I called a priest, a dear priest, and he gave me some wonderful advice. My approach at finding out what Catholicism was all about was I wanted to read about all of the Catholics that fell away from the church. Mm-hmm. I wanted to read from them why they left, because I thought there might be a truth in there that I needed to hear, so mm-hmm. then I could decide. And this priest gave me a very good example and said, Cheryl, if you want to learn about elephants, wouldn't you go to elephants to learn about elephants? Why would you go to giraffes to learn about elephants? And he said, there's nothing wrong with reading those other things, but if you want to learn the truths of the church and what it stands for, read from people who are practicing the church. And at first, I was kind of taken back because I felt like I didn't want to be lied to. I wanted to know the truths of why these people left. But I began to see a wisdom in what he told me as I began my journey. Mm-hmm. And that just catapulted me on a deep longing and a search to know the Lord personally for myself.
Mm, very good. That makes a lot of sense when you think about it. You want to start with the truth. You know, you need to be grounded. You need to even know why you want to know about this church. I mean, there has to be something in there. You have to start with the truth. I mean, that just makes perfect sense. So that was about what, 14? No, about how many years ago?
That was probably about 7 or 8 years ago.
7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, when he was in kindergarten. Kind of around that time, that began my journey. And so from that point forward, I began to read. I was drawn. And the coolest thing about it, looking back, that desire in my heart to know God was put there by God. Mm-hmm. You know, St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand what that restlessness was in my heart, but I was seeking. And once I opened my heart to seek him, I really found out he was pursuing me all along.
Of course.
And I began to read more and more about the lives, the saints, and about church teaching, especially things that were hard, mm-hmm. Like contraception and, you know, the sacrament of marriage. And why does the church say that contracepting is wrong in marriage? Just the real struggles that we as Catholics struggle with when we don't have the wisdom of why the church teaches what it does, because I didn't really have that growing up. Growing up, I was, you know, I was told, well, you don't have sex outside of marriage, and you wait for that gift. But I didn't know the whys behind it. And so I decided that's something I wanted to give to my kids as a gift. And that's where I stumbled upon the theology of the body, which is 129 Wednesday audiences from Pope John Paul II. And they were from September of 79 until November of 84, where he addressed these core issues in the dignity of our body. And it was really his first major teaching that his pontificate gave us, was on the dignity and understanding our bodies and the gifts that they are.
You know, again, the beauty of children. I think about, you were saying that you wanted to give the truth to your children. You wanted to give them that gift. It was the same for me. It wasn't until I had children and they were starting to ask questions and I was going to have to start teaching them, did I realize that I really want to teach them the truth. And I think about what would happen if I didn't have these children. You know, what would happen if you didn't have your children to teach? You know, I think there's so much wisdom in the family and in the way God intended it to be. And I get very excited when I think about that, and I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to teach the truth to my children. And
I think I think about that, how God even modeled that gift to us through his son. Mm-hmm. You know, it says no one can come to the Father except through Jesus, through his son, unless the Father calls. Mm-hmm. And so we go to Jesus, we learn about God, our Heavenly Father, through his son. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many times that I've learned about God and Jesus through my children, that God has drawn us in through that family unit to know him.
You know, and so you think about your own story and about how the world influenced you, how the secular world influenced you and from you, you know, from your teenager until the time you started having children. I would say you were probably very influenced by the world and didn't really know the beauties of the church, as did I. But you think about how you don't want that to happen to your children and how you'll do anything that you can to bring that truth, that light to your children before they're old enough to make those mistakes. Not to say they're not going to do things that they shouldn't and things like that, but you want to give them the right tools to fight the fight, because I think the world they're living in is even worse than the world we grew up in, just as far as having things available to them. We all know the internet and the music and the TV and all that stuff is way more intense now than it was when we were growing up. So what are some of the things, Cheryl, that came to light that I kind of have to fast forward. I would love to be able to do this for 3 hours, but we kind of have to fast forward to, you know, maybe the last couple years when your family started needing to know more of the truth. Things were being challenged. You had some challenges with the kids, and why don't you just go ahead and...
Well, I can share a little story with you about my daughter. And this was way back when Britney Spears was very popular. So I don't know, my daughter might have been in kindergarten, and she's in sixth grade now. Maybe she was even a little younger. And she asked me if Britney Spears was my favorite singer in the world. And she said it with a lot of enthusiasm. And I looked at her and I said, honey, I think she's a really good singer, but she doesn't use the gift that God gave her. I said, she's a beautiful girl. And I said, I just don't think she respects her body and the gift that God gave her in her body the way that she should. And my little girl looked at me and said, Mom, just because she bought a small shirt instead of a large, you know, she was able to verbalize something in the mind and in the age-appropriate age for her to see what I was saying and how she wasn't respecting her body and how media and music and society in TVs, on the radio, in movies, everything to do with freedom, it's thrown out there like that means to be free means you can go do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want, with no consequences, or you'll deal with those later. And that's a lie. That's the great lie of Satan. True freedom comes in knowing what you were created for, that you were made in his image and likeness, and you were created for so much more than what the world is trying to tell you. And they mock and they mimic God's plan with creation and every gift that we've been given, it's all mocked.
Right.
And the sad thing is there's a lot of adults, even my age, that see it, and they don't even see the distortedness in it. And I love a quote by Pope John Paul II, and it says, God has assigned as a duty to every man the dignity of every woman. And when I heard that as a woman, to hear that and to realize that that's how God wants it to be, it was just earth-shattering for me. And I reflected back to my college days, to when, you know, there were a lot of men around, and none of which were protecting the dignity of themselves or women. And it was all a joke. It was all, you know, the whole walk of shame the next day, all of the things that happen on college campuses.
And still do
with drinking. And it's just laughed at. But what we don't see is the brokenness of the souls behind it. And a couple months ago, I am a nurse. I'm a registered nurse. And I recently started working at EPS. And I'm getting trained to do ultrasounds on these precious girls that come in that are terrified. And you know, the hard thing about it is that their pregnancy is kind of the problem of the day. It's not the problem of their lifetime. They have so many other issues going on that it's just one more thing on their plate. And we hear time and time again that girls that have been told, you know, not have been told accurately about the choices that they have to make, they regret that they weren't told the truth, that they weren't given the knowledge of what was really occurring in their body before they made decisions. And so I was at training for ultrasound, and I was in the hotel room by myself. My kids weren't around. I was reading a book called Theology of the Body's Life Changed by Theology of the Body. And there's a quote that I want to share. And it says, the body and it alone is capable of making visible what is invisible, the spiritual and the divine. It was created to transfer into the visible reality of the world the mystery hidden since time and immemorial in God, and thus be a sign of it. And I had been reading for a while, and I decided I wanted something a little lighter. So I closed my book and turned on the TV and was clicking through the regular channels. And as I was clicking through, I saw this beautiful girl come on, and she was talking about her life. And the sad thing about it is she was a porn star, and she was sharing how wonderful it was and how much freedom she had and how glamorous it was and how much she loved it. And as I watched her talk about this, it was like it pierced my heart with the lie of it.
Yes.
And immediately I turned the TV off and I closed my eyes and I wept and I pulled my book back out and I opened it up to the quote and I read it again. The body and it alone is capable of making visible what is invisible, the spiritual and the divine. And I really wept because I thought about all these people that are engaging in behaviors that not only damage their bodies physically through sexually transmitted diseases and all of the other things that go along with it, but their souls. Mm-hmm. Their souls are not protected. And that's the sad thing that I see, is they think that there's this freedom, and it's not. It's a lie. And I wept. I wept for all of the men that are running around the world in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that have the mentality of a 20-year-old with regards to their sexuality. Yeah. You know, someone asked me, what does it mean to be a man? Like, how does God really want me to live this out? And I said to them, grab a crucifix. Hold a crucifix in your hand and look at Jesus. He laid down his life. Mm. That's what it means to be a man. And it's so far removed from the mind of our teenagers. Oh. Oh. They can't even relate to it.
You're right. And you're right. That was beautiful, that description that you talked about with that young lady on TV. How do you take things like that, things that you know that are going on in this world, experiences that you had in college growing up with guys, you know, not respecting you for who you were? How do you take that and teach your children, your son, you know, who now is 14? You have some beautiful stories of how your beautiful teaching moments for your kids, so they understand the dignity of every person.
Well, I literally for years have I've been praying, and I will with prayers at night. The formulated prayers are great, but it's great, this gift we have as mother, as woman, to go into our child's room with them at night and mm-hmm. tuck them in and say to them what our desires are for them. And I'll say, I'll pray over my son, and I've done this since he was little, and I'll just place my hand on his head and I'll pray out loud and I'll say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of Ryan, for his genuine heart, for his funny personality, for his nice smile, his eyes. And Lord, I just ask your Holy Spirit to be with him when he goes to school tomorrow. Help him to see that person that's left out, or maybe the girl that's not as pretty that no one is talking to. Give him the grace to go over and talk to her. Give him the grace to talk to kids that aren't included. And I'll just pray these prayers mm-hmm. out loud over my children so they hear what's on my heart, so that it's not a question to them. And they're hearing it over right. and over and over, the right. gift they are to God. And they're hearing their parent thank them for that gift. Mm-hmm. And they're hearing me beg God for the grace. And right. I'll say to my son, you know, you're at a crossroads. You're going to hear guys talking about girls' body parts. You're going to hear that. Have you heard that yet? And he'll say yes. And I'll say, you know, you have within you in your manhood to either maybe say something like, that's not cool, or to walk away. God will tell you how to do that. But if you're not talking with God, he's not going to be able to guide you because you're not open to hearing his spirit in you. And sometimes you will be called to correct with charity. Sometimes you'll just be called to walk away. Or sometimes you'll be called to have a one-on-one conversation with a friend. But it's just giving them the tools to know how to combat all these things in society, because it is a real battle. There's a battle that's taking place for the lives, for these kids' souls.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That is so beautiful, Cheryl. And when you're doing this with your children every day, there's a couple things happening, because they're getting used to that prayer time, that spontaneous prayer, that calling on the Holy Spirit. They're getting so it becomes not awkward to do that, when maybe if you're not there, or maybe they're with their friends and they might start praying, maybe more your daughters than your than your sons. I don't know. Maybe that's stereotyping, but you know, just that comfort level with spontaneous prayer. And then also they're going to understand then, when they're able to overcome these things, it's because of that grace. It's because of that call that you have asked the Father to be with them and to help them and to guide their actions, and maybe help with, you know, maybe some problems that they're having at school with some kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you're showing them where the answers come from.
And I have another example with my daughter. There was a time when we had lost a child, and she was really having a hard time. I had miscarried, and she was journaling at the time, and she would journal to God or to Mary or to Jesus, whoever she would feel comfortable to. And she would just write what's on her heart. And so she took her journal and went upstairs, and she wrote into it. And when I walked into her room, she was holding onto her journal, like hugging it almost. And I said, honey, what are you doing? Are you okay? And she said, yeah, Mom, I am. And I said, well, why? What are you doing? And she said, well, I'm holding this because in this has the words that Mary spoke to my heart. And Mary comforted me, Mom. She told me that she lost a son too, so she understood how I felt when I lost my brother. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful that she had that gift. And another time was when I was yelling at my kids. You know, as parents, as moms, we don't do things perfectly. And I was yelling at my children, and it wasn't what I wanted to do. And I looked at my daughter and I said, honey, I'm not the perfect mom, but you do have your mother in heaven. And when you're mad at me, when I hurt you, when I wound your heart or your soul by my lack of good judgment and parenting, you can go to your room and you can talk to Mary about it. You can talk to Jesus about your feelings. Mm-hmm. They are there for you and they will never abandon you. And it's just helping them know that relationship is real. Mm-hmm. It's not about some teaching of the church. It's about right. letting our kids experience Jesus, who he is as a person themselves.
Right. Yeah, that's beautiful.
The gift.
That is the gift. And, you know, and I guess my next question was, how have, and you've kind of hit on this, but how have you seen the fruits from these teachings, from your prayer, from you praying with your children in the, you know, every night? I know also you take them to the Blessed Sacrament on occasion, you know, you pray there. How do you see the fruits, or what are the fruits that you see coming from this?
You know, they're not perfect. They make mistakes and they're still tempted like we all
sure,
are.
Sure.
But what I do see is, you know, if I'm in the house and something's on TV and something comes on that my red flag goes up, my daughter has said, switch the channel, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'll just see these little things, or like we're driving in the car and my son likes a certain radio station. And a lot of the words aren't good on it. So I told him, you know, you're old enough now. If you hear something that's not appropriate, I expect you to change the radio station. And every now and then he does. Mm-hmm. A lot of times he doesn't even know what the words are saying or right. doesn't understand them.
Right.
But once I've pointed it out to him, he's getting it. They're seeing. And then it gives them that discerning heart so that they can make those choices and move forward in their walk and be that voice of truth. And that's what they're called to be. Right. Each of us are.
Well, it's really an endless effort. It's something that we'll be doing with our children and our families, you know, until we're not here anymore, I'm sure. But you will, and I know you will see as your children get a little bit older, you will see, you know, more of the fruits of that grace of the prayer with them. And there's so much more, Cheryl. You are going to have to come back because we didn't even touch on so much that we wanted to talk about. And you just have so much to offer. A family, a mother, a nurse, somebody working. You have so many stories. You just have to come back and share some more.
I'd love to.
Okay. All right.
I'd just like to close with this last prayer. So when you're listening to this, just ponder this in your heart. This is from Pope Benedict. And only where God is seen does life truly begin. Only when we meet the living God in Christ do we know what life is. We are not some casual and meaningless product of evolution. Each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary. And there is nothing more beautiful than to be surprised by the gospel, by the encounter with Christ. There is nothing more beautiful than to know him and to speak to others of our friendship with him.
That's beautiful. And I also wanted to add this little blurb from the Pro Sanctity Creed. Let your word be for us and for all an invitation to bring about your universal plan to love, to form new families in the new world where we all shall live as brothers and sisters of Christ. And that's really what we want for our families, for our families' friends, for, you know, for everybody. And that's what God has intended for us. So with that, I'm going to have to close the show, but I do want to make sure I do a few housekeeping things here about some upcoming events that Pro Sanctity is involved with. And the first one is the National Pro Sanctity Convention, which will be July 29th through the 31st. And the theme is Love is Fire. We want to be a flame and bring this fire to others so that they too may burn with love. And that's what Bishop Jacinta would say. And it's open to everyone of all ages, and it will be at the St. Benedict Center in Schuyler, Nebraska, and there will be more information on that at the Pro Sanctity website. Also, very big deal, Cardinal Lorenzi will be coming to town. He's coming to Omaha in connection with Pro Sanctity, and he will be giving his talks on holiness in light of Familiaris Consortio. And that will be in September, from September 20th to 23rd. And I have been blessed to actually hear Cardinal Lorenzi many times when we would go to Catholic Family Land in Bloomingdale, Ohio. And that is a treat and a blessing for sure. And also, just want to also tell you to visit ProSanctity, www.prosanctity.org, for any more information up to date. You can find more information on our apostolate, including information on exploring a vocation as an oblate with any of our upcoming activities. Once again, that's www.prosanctity.org. And also there is still sign up for Camp Fun and Faith, which is a day camp for our young girls. And there is an overnight camp for our junior high girls and our young girls. So check the ProSanctity website for dates about that. Finally, we just need to close with a prayer. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, divine master, who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue, and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother and our mother. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us, and join us again next time on Pro Sanctity's Holiness Helpers.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the Pro Sanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The Pro Sanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.